Welcome, welcome to the Damage Report. I am John Iadarola, very lucky to be joined on the program today by contributor to Rebel HQ, Jessica Burbank. Welcome to the Damage Report.
Hey y'all, good to be here.
Great to have you here. We've done the show a few times together, including the Power Panel 2, and basically every day you're off making awesome videos for Rebel HQ. What have you been working on recently?
Yeah, so most recently there's a pretty insane video of the police in Lawton, Oklahoma. They shot someone, an unarmed black man, 15 times. And they're now facing first degree manslaughter charges, and we're not seeing a lot about this in mainstream news. So my most recent video is covering that.
Well, I am glad that you are covering that, and for that reason, because just speaking for myself, I had not actually seen that particular story. So thankfully I will soon be seeing that video on Rebel HQ. So that is awesome. And thank you for being with us today.
Yeah.
For those of you at home, thank you as well. We've got a lot that we're going to be talking about through the course of this show. The latest on Roe v. Wade, we're going to dive into a bit of the discourse. Now that we've absorbed over a couple of weeks that it is likely that the Supreme Court is going to just Thanos your reproductive rights, how are people messaging about this? And what does the Department of Homeland Security think is going to happen in this area? We'll be diving into that, as well as the latest on the fallout from the absolutely devastating mass shooting in Buffalo over the weekend. Republicans trying to stop literally anything from being done by the government, no matter how necessary, no matter how reasonable, no matter how much they have personally advocated for it to happen, they will then block it from actually happening. And we've got a lot more besides, including one of the worst Freudian slips, I think, in the history of humanity. So we've got that and more to look forward to, including meanwhile in, if you're watching the full hour and a half program. And along the way, if you wouldn't mind sharing the stream or liking the video, anything like that would be nice. And if you want to send us comments, tweets, super chats, anything like that, Jessica and I will respond as we go. But with all that said, are you ready to jump into this thing?
Ready to go.
Okay, then with that, let's jump into this.
Because I think it's a very emotional issue, abortion. And a lot of people don't understand it. There are women who are past their prime, can't even get pregnant. But you will see them out there screaming at the top of their lungs, almost resorting to violence, because it's a religious tenet to these people. And we have to understand that. I would stay away from these people all summer. If you hear about a protest in your city, I wouldn't engage. I'd go to the beach. Even on the social level, if it's not your friend or your family, don't involve yourself with a very, you know, turbulent conversation about it. It's really not worth it.
Okay, so we are going to dive into the topic of whether there might be violence that comes about as a result of what the Supreme Court is doing in regards to Roe v. Wade. The only thing they seem to care about in the wake of that is, oh my God, the protests around the SCOTUS, they're going to kill someone. And of course, nothing has happened. There's just been some people with some signs that has been literally it. They're exercising their actual rights to freedom of speech. And they're not doing any of the terrible things that were predicted were going to happen. But that said, it is not impossible that violence could come about. So we're going to turn to that in just a minute. But first of all, Jessica, I want to just briefly touch on three aspects of what he said there. So first of all, I love his final point is don't engage in the conversation. It's turbulent. Don't talk about it. That is definitely what you would say to your side if you believe that they had the moral and persuasive high ground on this issue. And he's saying like, no, this is going to be rough over the next few months because people really don't support our position. So check out, don't get involved in that. And then also he said, it's a religious position on the left. They're the ones who are approaching this dogmatically. And also, why would you listen to a woman who is past her prime? Some woman who's all dried up, can't even reproduce anymore. She wants to tell us what rights people should have. So what do you make of all this?
Yeah, on the point of the woman being old and not being able to have a baby or whatever, it's like this guy can't imagine someone caring about an issue that doesn't personally affect them. But that's not even really the case here, because very likely the person he's talking about was able to have kids for a portion of their life, and this was something that potentially impacted them. But it's really the perspective that, like, why do you care about it if it might not affect you, which is really what Fox News pushes a lot. And then saying it's a religious tenet when most of the people advocating for banning abortion are white Christian nationalists. They're doing this because it's in the Bible. That's what they say, that it's a part of Christianity. And so it's just ridiculous. The hypocrisy is so apparent. And that's probably why he doesn't want them to engage with other people, because maybe if they have a conversation, they'll point out how weak the narrative is on the other side.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a big switch. Normally, aren't they the ones saying that like you're supposed to debate literally everything? Like all politics is supposed to be, you know, one person who will never shift on their position yelling at another person who will never shift on their position. Isn't that like the height of politics according to people like Ben Shapiro and all that? Now it's, well, that seems turbulent. You should probably just avoid the whole thing. You're not gonna be popular, by the way. I mean, everybody agrees with you, but you're really not gonna be popular if you hold this position, so just keep it to yourself. And I do love they cannot wait on basically every issue to tar the other side as having a religious position. They consider religion to be this great thing, but it's also their go-to smear. Really weird. I'm an atheist. It doesn't offend me. I don't have a religion. I don't want a religion. I've considered some of them. I don't find them persuasive. But I love that the religious consider it to be such a weak position that your politics would be informed by your religion. Weird that they have that position. The Department of Homeland Security had this memo that was attained by Axios. It says that the US government is bracing for a potential surge in political violence once the actual ruling comes out. It warns that violent extremists might target companies that manufacture or sell abortion-related medications and quote, organizations that fund and facilitate travel for those seeking abortion. So first of all, oops, Jesse Waters, they're not worried about people who want you to have these rights committing violence. They think that even on the eve of their greatest victory, those who are opposed to reproductive rights are going to go and start attacking companies and other things. They go wider, saying some racially or ethnically motivated violent extremist embrace of pro-life narratives may be linked to the perception of wanting to quote, save white children and fight white genocide. If you want to find out more about those theories, you can just watch Tucker Carlson literally any night. The memo does say they're worried that violence could come as well from abortion rights proponents. Now, from everything that I've seen in this, they don't have any examples of what that would look like or why that would happen. I guess they're trying to be balanced or something, but they do believe that people who've been worked into a frenzy over the past couple of years about QAnon and Save the Children and all that might be, you know, riled up into violence. Even though, again, I will remind you, this is while the right is winning on this issue. They're getting what they've wanted for more than half a century. And even then, they might be inspired to go down and start killing people.
Yeah, they know this is a popular issue. They know that people are willing to go out and protest for it. And this reminds me of what the police were doing during the BLM protest. They were saying, you know, these people are very violent and preemptively sending riot police there that are just ready to engage and expecting violence. And so no one was being violent until they brought up violence. But really, it's dangerous because by fomenting this rhetoric, we might see them actually send riot police to peaceful protests from, you know, abortion rights activists. And that's really scary. So their narrative about violence is probably what would lead to violence.
Yeah, people might remember like a month or so ago, we talked about some of the worldwide protests that were going on around the climate. And in downtown LA, there were a couple of, I think it was professors that chained themselves outside of a bank. It was like four professors. And there was a line of riot squad cops marching towards them. It's like an adjunct, dude. Relax, seriously. Like, why are you freaking out about this? But that's what we should expect. We're always pitched as being the violent ones, despite a notable lack of violence. In any event, we're gonna turn to that's the media side. But what's going on in actual government? Well, we want to give you some of what this guy, Representative Mike Johnson, has to say. Let's jump into this second video.
Let me ask you. Do you support the right of a woman who is just seconds away from birthing a healthy child to have an abortion?
I think that the question that you're asking does not realistically reflect abortion care.
In that scenario, would you support her right to abort that child?
I won't entertain theoreticals.
It's not a theoretical, ma'am. You're a medical doctor.
I am a medical doctor, and that has never happened.
Never happened in your practice, ma'am, but it happens. How about if a child is halfway out of the birth canal? Is an abortion permissible then?
Can you repeat your question?
If a child is halfway delivered out of the birth canal, is it permissible to have an abortion? Would you support the right for an abortion then?
I can't even fathom that ever.
And I'm not asking you if you can fathom it. If it occurred, would you support that abortion or not? That's unrestricted abortion, right?
That's a question that I can't imagine. I Just like you probably can't imagine what you would do if your daughter was raped. If it hasn't happened, it may be difficult for you.
You're not going to answer this question.
So look, the right knows that their position on Roe v. Wade, on reproductive rights, is incredibly unpopular. Knew they've been losing on this issue for longer than most of you watching this have been alive. And along the way, they've come up with an ever shifting number of horrific hypotheticals that don't exist in the real world to delude you, to bamboozle you into thinking that that is what abortion actually is. That there are a lot of people, Jessica, you may not know this, you're a young woman, maybe you don't have the life experience, but what a lot of older women will do is that they will become pregnant. They will then carry the fetus for 8 2/3 months. And then as they're sitting in the waiting room to give birth, they think, you know what? No, actually, I'm not gonna do that. That's what actually happens. So I'm gonna need you to answer for women, why would you all do these horrible things?
Oh, that's an easy one, John. We wouldn't, and certainly a doctor would not. If you're a doctor who's assigned to help someone birth a child, the last thing you're thinking about is the possible ways to end that infant's life. I mean, what he's asking about is infanticide. He's not asking about abortion. And this is exactly why you have people like Jesse Waters saying, don't engage with the other side, because they quite literally have no argument. If they could really argue the fact that abortion, you know, should be illegal, they wouldn't have to make this about killing babies as they're being born or right after they're being born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's the thing. They understand that their position is horrifying and they don't want to actually defend it. So they will come up with fantastical, horrifying things. So the fact that his position is, and many, many Republicans in elected office, is that if you are raped, you should be forced to give birth. That is horrifying to a lot of people. If you're raped by your dad, you should be forced to give the birth to that. That is a horrifying thing and not hypothetical. Now look, a lot of people like to say that those exceptions for rape or incest don't make up a majority of cases in which, you know, someone would have an abortion. And that is true, but it still actually happens. And that gives it a little bit more plausibility than the idea that 5 seconds before birth, someone would choose to abort. So I looked at the numbers and they throw around these numbers. Only 1% of abortions are due to rape, 0.5% are due to incest. Now, I take massive issue with those numbers, because for you to believe those numbers, you would have to believe that people are actually accurately reporting why they're doing this. So we know many rapes never go reported whatsoever, because a lot of people who get raped accurately read that society cops, all that, aren't actually going to believe them or trust them or do anything about it. And that then when you go to then have an abortion, you would then willingly offer up that that's why. But whatever, let's say that those are the accurate numbers. That would work out to, as of the last numbers I saw from 2019, 6,000 rape-related abortions in America alone in 1 year, 3,000 incest-related abortions. That's 9,000 horrific instances that dude you just saw totally believes they should be forced to have. But he's not interested. He's interested in these hypotheticals that he comes up with. Like, okay, I'll throw one at him. What if we found out that you were about to give birth to Satan himself? Beelzebub was about to be born, and you have a few seconds to wipe out the god of lies, the morning star himself. Would you not do it? Oh, you can't conceive of that? Well, I'm not interested in what you can conceive of. I said words, and now you have to give me your position on it. No, the situation right now in terms of rape and incest that exists even with Roe v. Wade, that is an actual horrific situation that will only be made more horrific if men like him get what they want, which is what's happening thanks to the SCOTUS. That is what we should be focusing on, the true horror, not the stuff that he conjures up to get you to be okay with your rights being stripped away.
That's exactly it, right? Their most extreme scenario is something that doesn't happen. Our most extreme scenario is something that does happen. And I was gonna say, she did the right thing by saying, you know, that question's ridiculous, this doesn't happen. But I don't know, I think fighting fire with fire and coming back with even more ridiculous hypotheticals might be the way to go if you're testifying on the floor of Congress.
100%. Yeah, so that dude and other Republicans, in terms of your votes for military spending, for weapons, you're fine with things like cluster munitions, white phosphorus weapons. Do you know what those do to bodies when you drop them on an area? And it turns out that most of those are not capable of in the moment knowing that the person they're about to explode, possibly days or weeks afterward, when an unexploded cluster munition is found by a civilian, or when you blanket an area with white phosphorus and it burns the skin and flesh, burns to the bone the people there, it can't tell if you're a terrorist or not. So why, I'll say to that dignified representative, are you okay with a pregnant person having their body literally burned off of their bones by white phosphorus weaponry? Why are you supporting that sort of stuff? That's not hypothetical. That happens when you use weapons like that. Why are you okay with that? It's just so, I understand that they think that this is a winning issue. And I understand that they know that their base is not going to do even the limited, request for critical thought that I'm asking for right here. But when you actually think about it, they're in favor of a lot of horror. Anyway,
yeah, it's always been about politics for them. Abortion and the issue of being pro-life has never been about abortion, because they're clearly not pro-life, as you just pointed out. And this is why they don't want them to engage with the other side. It's always been about politics, because they saw abortion as an issue they could win elections on. Republicans and Democrats were voting in equal proportions for and against abortion until the 70s, when Nixon ran and was against abortion. And they were like, wow, he got a lot of votes from socially conservative people and Catholics. We should use this as an electoral strategy. And Republicans did, and they picked up a bunch of seats in Congress because they were getting single issue voters, so they could have the rest of their platform be whatever they want and keep winning elections based on this issue. It's always been about politics, never about being pro-life.
Yeah. Well, so let's see. The arguments we've gone through is don't listen to, according to Jesse Waters, women who are past their prime. Don't listen to them. Don't engage. And then the ridiculous hypotheticals. Okay, so let's just go to the core of it. We're gonna go to a video of Marjorie Greene, who in this case is honestly being the most honest out of all of them, because she's going to admit that this is just a religious thing. Let's go to this video.
Let me tell you what a woman's choice is. To be a mother, that is the greatest choice a woman can ever make. You can choose to turn away from the evil that has convinced you. And yes, it is Satan that whispers in your ear. I'll say it over and over again. If you accidentally get pregnant, let me tell you something. That abortion that you're considering having, that's not going to solve your problems. It's not going to make that boyfriend of yours or that guy love you. That abortion won't do that.
Okay, so that's a sort of muddled argument that there is only one choice that, as she says, a woman can make, and that is to give birth. If you consider abortion, it's because Satan himself is whispering in your ear. And let's keep it real, the only reason you're considering doing that is because you think that if you have an abortion, your boyfriend or whatever will love you more. So that's a little bit muddled, Jessica. I've said often that it's sort of ridiculous, sort of laughable, that for more than 50 years they've been trying to win people over to their position and they haven't succeeded. There's a few attempts in that video right there. Do you think that Marjorie Greene is onto something? Do you think that the majority are going to turn against reproductive rights now?
No. I think we need to just have Marjorie Taylor Greene in a room and be like, is Satan in the room with us right now? What is he saying? Because this is ridiculous. I mean, the separation of church and state exists for a reason. The Republican Party claims to be very for interpreting, the original interpretation of the Constitution and loving all of the amendments, but they're clinging to having our laws be dependent on what's written in the Bible and what Christianity says. It's ridiculous. I don't think many people will be convinced by this. And if they actually really cared about what the Bible said and they wanted to interpret the really Christian fundamentalist version, why aren't they talking about premarital if they don't want people to have abortions? They know that they can't have conversations about these things that are super unpopular, and so they're talking about this instead, and it's ridiculous. I don't think anyone's gonna be convinced. I don't think anyone's listening for Satan's whisper, quite frankly.
Yeah, and of course, look, we could reiterate all this stuff about how they don't want, you to do things that would stop you from getting pregnant in the first place. They want you to be at risk of becoming pregnant and then be forced into into giving birth, and they don't mean any of this either. They'll say the things like, there is literally nothing better that, in their words, a woman can do than to give birth. That's the thing you should be doing. Then, look, if you actually believe that, and I don't, I think that's really weird, really misogynist, but if you actually believe that, then what are you doing in Congress, Marjorie Greene? Go get pregnant. Oh, and you'll say you have some kids. Have more. You're rich. You can afford way more kids than you have right now. Lauren Boebert's even younger. She's got a few kids. She's also wealthy. Go get pregnant again. If you really believe that the only value that a person capable of getting pregnant can bring is to constantly be bringing people into the world, it's the best thing. And each one of those kids is its own unique miracle. Then why are you blocking so many of those miracles from entering the world? Is it that you believe that? No, actually, there are a lot of different ways that someone can live their best life, and they're under no obligation to bring anyone into the world that they don't feel capable or desiring to care for. Is that what you believe? Because you're onto something, you're right, and I support that position. I support your ability to serve in government or business or to go write a book or to go eat, pray, love abroad or whatever it is that you want to do with your life. You should have the choice in that. You clearly actually believe that. You clearly believe that for people who might be capable of becoming pregnant, sometimes they'd prefer to just work on their career. So why don't you allow everyone else the same rights that you're exercising in real time?
Oh, but John, it's not about that. It's about having working class people have babies. Of course, people who are wealthy, they can make that choice very deliberately. But they're worried about having a shortage of essential workers and having cheap labor to exploit. Marjorie Taylor Greene has a lot of money invested in corporations. And the value of their stock returns depends on those corporations having cheap labor to exploit. It's always been about having a large working class, having a lot of labor to exploit to them. And so they want a lot of working class people to be having babies, so they have someone to clean their house and wait on them when they go out to eat in restaurants. To me, I think it's very clear that it's about class, that wealthy women will always have a choice. And it's going to be working class women and people of color who don't.
Yeah. Yeah, there's never going to be a time that like a billionaire, like billionaire's daughters would be like, man, I just, condoms are illegal. I guess I got to risk it. Just never going to happen. You're 100% right. Thank you for centering class in this. Okay, with that said, we are going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we're going to be switching up gears, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this.
Terrorism, I'm from downstate. Terrorism is flying planes into buildings. This is just murder, as far as I'm concerned.
That is Michael Korchak, the DA of Broome County, talking about the Buffalo mass shooting, saying the idea that that would be terrorism. No, terrorism is when Muslim. Now, I don't know what's in his heart, but the idea that something happening here where a person who apparently is being like inspired by their political conspiracy theory goes and commits an act of mass violence against the civilian population to terrify people, to influence our politics. Look, I mean, I only spent half a decade in political science academia, so what do I know? But kind of feel like that's the dictionary definition of terrorism. The idea that just because this guy used a gun, you're not counting it? That seems weird to me, but Jessica, what do you think?
Yeah, because he used a gun, because he was in the United States, because he was white, because the people who were dying were not majorly white. It's pretty clear where a lot of these people stand when it comes to this. And this was clearly an act of violence committed for political purposes, and it caused a lot of terror. Pretty straightforward. It was a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm. Seems to me. Let's give him a little bit more of a chance to make his case. Serious.
This is just murder, as far as I'm concerned. It is terrorism because you're terrorizing the community, and it was racially motivated, we believe, at this point in time. But you know, from the DA's perspective, crime is crime, and whatever your motive for doing it, your motive is you're an evil person, and that's why you're doing it. So, I mean, I really don't get into what's terrorism and what's not terrorism. It's crime.
But you did, though. You just did. You just said that it wasn't, except, well, I guess you're terrorizing the community. Well, What is terrorism then? You seem to think it is, but not in a way that should matter or influence the investigation. It is an act of politically inspired violence against the civilian population. Look, if this isn't it, then let's just not have terrorism be a thing. Let's not have that be a term. Let's not talk about it anymore. You could make the case maybe, but that clearly is what's going on. We do label other sorts of attacks as terrorism. We do that for reasons, depending on who we are. There's clearly a reason for that. So why in this case you'd carve it out and say that it's just evil, I can't even say that I'm confused about that, because I feel like it is pretty clear. It gets back to what you were saying, Jessica. The idea that you would say, let's not think critically about this. Let's not get into how this might be political or how others might interpret it or use it or carry out similar attacks in the future. Let's just use the word evil. That's it. Now, I will agree. I think that if the word evil means anything, it very accurately depicts this as well. But the idea that this is just evil and that's as far as we should think into it, that seems opportunistic. That seems like it is shielding potentially a fruitful analysis of what's going on here. But Jessica, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, using soft language when it comes to describing this is dangerous. It normalizes it. And only going into what happened at a very shallow level is also dangerous and also normalizes it. To say that this was racially motivated and evil, I'm sorry, it doesn't accurately describe what happened. This person wrote a manifesto where he made very clear that he's very worried about white replacement theory, very much believes in white replacement theory, and this is because he believes in white nationalism. He had, you know, fascist symbols written on the gun that he used. This was a right-wing extremist, fascist, who believes in white nationalism. That's a lot more than just this was an evil, racially motivated act. It's a lot 100%. Deeper than that.
Yeah, and look, again, I don't know this person. This isn't like a comment from a Ted Cruz where I've heard a lot of what they've had to say and the positions they've held. But like, you got to do better. Like, you're the DA. Like, you are in a position of authority, a position of responsibility, generally a position of respect, whether earned or not. Like, you are going to be asked questions like this. You should do a bit of thinking about it if you're going to be involved in these investigations. Now, I will give you some updates on what's going on. A grand jury, as of this morning, has indicted the suspect on a first degree murder charge. The FBI is also currently looking at this potentially as a hate crime, potentially, again, because there's no common sense in our society anymore. So anyway, they say it might be racially motivated. Gee, do you think? As you point out, yes, it had those symbols and stuff like that on the weapon. There was also the manifesto, but we can't say for sure. These are all allegations at this point. In any event, other updates, the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, is going to be investigating some social media platforms where the stream of this attack was available, including Twitch, 4chan, and Twitter, 8chan as well. Apparently, millions have now seen the shooting, although only 22 actually watched it live. Twitch removed the stream after only 2 minutes. So very quickly, they jumped on it and got rid of it. It took Facebook 10 hours. 10 hours is time for the news to break, spread over social media, everyone to start to learn about it, multiple cable news shows to do their like quarterly updates on the investigation, an entire night of primetime analysis and coverage to happen, and then they take it down, I guess. Anyway, Letitia James says the fact that an individual can post detailed plans to commit such an act of hate without consequence and then stream it for the world to see is bone chilling and unfathomable. Now, I will say, in terms of it having been like the manifesto being posted earlier, I have no idea how reasonable it is to say that someone should have found it. If you put something like that in Google Docs, do I want Google to be analyzing everything that you put up in real time to immediately alert the authorities? That seems potentially problematic. So I don't know about that part of it. The idea that they would leave the stream up for so long, though, that seems, I feel like if I were to use Baby Shark in one of my videos, I feel like Facebook would jump on that a little bit quicker. I feel like when they want to, they can take things down. I get updates, you know, from stuff on the network that has copyright strikes or whatever. I don't think that takes weeks to take down. So I don't know, Jessica, but what do you think?
Yeah, intellectual property getting more protections than people spreading dangerous, violent rhetoric and committing acts of violence on live stream. I remember within those 10 hours, I saw on Twitter, you know, someone said, hey, the video is still up. And if you reported it, you would get this message that said, we've reviewed this and we've determined that it doesn't violate our guidelines. Oh, and if it disturbs you, you know, you can block the user, et cetera. So who was that moderator? Was it a human? Was it an algorithm? We need some accountability for whoever that moderator was who said this is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. There's a lot about this. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not gonna make a lot of absolute statements about what I would expect people in real time to necessarily do. The thing that I'm focusing on here is the 10 hours, because that's not a snap judgment you need to make. That is time for multiple levels of bureaucracy to fail and then be replaced by another one. In the area of snap judgments though, and I just saw someone mention this on the chat, the 911 dispatcher has been placed on administrative leave. Termination will be sought. The store employee who initially called in the attack says she hung up on her during the shooting, saying, quote, she was yelling at me saying, why are you whispering? You don't have to whisper. And again, I don't know exactly what that was like in the moment. You're trained to handle these sorts of situations though. So I do think that we are able to have some expectations, and the idea that they wouldn't want you on that position going forward, I sort of get. I would imagine this individual will be a little bit more careful in the future, but when people's lives are on the line, that is not a chance that I think many people are gonna wanna take.
Yeah, super stressful situation, but again, it's a job where you're always going to be in a super stressful situation. And so, yeah, it's reasonable that they let this staffer go, because the last thing you wanna do is to call 911 and get some sass back when you're dealing with a super stressful, dangerous situation.
Exactly. Yeah. And why would you be whispering when talking about a mass shooting? I don't know. I guess I'm not trained in that area. But wait, you are. Common sense. Come on. Can you imagine how, like, you're already terrified in a way that the rest of us cannot even imagine? And that's the response you get. And then if they were to hang up, like, your stomach would sink. How terrified you would be. I can't imagine, amidst all of the other terror, how horrific that entire thing is. Anyway.
Food security is national security. And right now we have a food security crisis for the most vulnerable of Americans, the ones that we cherish the most, and that's our babies. This is completely squarely on the shoulders of the Biden administration and the Democrats that are controlling our government.
So that is just a representative sample of what the right, members of the right, the wackos on the right, have been saying for about a week and a half now. That is that we have this crisis, which we do, that it's entirely the fault of the Biden administration, which I don't understand what that's supposed to mean. And they definitely wouldn't think that if this had happened while Trump was still president, but that most of all, something needs to be done. You've got to deal with this crisis, but not in any way that we can come up with, because in attempting to fix this crisis, that woman you just saw there, Representative Marjorie Greene, was not a part of the solution. They have this bill to try to get more low-income Americans to have access to the funds necessary to buy this, and she voted against it. She wasn't alone. 9 Republicans in the House of Representatives voted against a bill that aims to facilitate the purchase of baby formula for those on low-income federal support programs. I don't know if maybe they were watching the damage report over the last week when I was talking specifically about, well, if you all of a sudden are so concerned about people having access to baby formula, maybe going forward we could increase funding for it. But in any event, they're not for that. And this was the Access to Baby Formula Act. It would allow more people on WIC, the Women, Infant, and Children program, to get access to formula. It did pass, by the way. It was 414-9, which means that the vast, vast majority of Republicans crossed the aisle to support this, as one would, well, maybe not expect, but hope. You'd hope that they did this, and they did. But 9 voted against it, and it is the exact ones that you would think. Representatives Andy Biggs, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, Louie Gohmert, Paul Gosar, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Clay Higgins, Thomas Massie, and Chip Roy. I don't know. I don't have an answer to the question you might be thinking of, which is what is wrong with these people? But at least one of them said, what is wrong with this bill? Representative Roy said, the only way to get more formula to American families is to fix the crony policies that prevent more US companies from producing it, remove barriers to innovation, and allow imports from trusted nations. The legislation Democrats put forward does none of that. Its shortage is the direct result of unnecessary federal regulations and of a bloated bureaucracy that failed to recognize the problem before it spiraled out of control. This body should be solving problems, not making them worse. So of course, there's no mention there of the, what are they calling it? The Operation Fly formula, which is specifically to import formula from the trusted nations he talks about. What the crony policies are that presumably Biden set up in the last year to limit what companies can make formula. That's a spicy theory. Let's hear more about that from Chip Roy. I don't think he's got any more because that exists only inside of his own skull. Unnecessary federal regulations, I'm going to assume, is a reference to the fact that one of the factories that make formula shut down because they had contaminated their formula and multiple infants had already died as a result of it. He apparently thought that that was a bad choice. They should have kept going. They should have kept shipping contaminated formula that had already killed multiple infants out. Now, of course, he doesn't have the balls to actually say that. He's not gonna say, you can't make formula without breaking some infants, I suppose. But that is what he actually means there, Jessica. What do you think about them turning against this bill?
Yeah, insane. Is there a better distillation of what's going on with populist right-wing politics? I mean, they say they care about the Americans that are struggling to buy baby formula, and then they don't vote for a bill that will make it more accessible, more easy for these families to buy it. And then they point to the corporations. Okay, well, four companies were controlling the baby formula market back in 2018. They controlled 89% of the market before Biden got in office. And if your solution is we've got to break up the trust in the baby formula market, what are we going to do with the instability in the meantime when we have a shortage before we get to the point where there are new baby formula businesses producing formula and we diversify the market? We need something to feed to the babies in the meantime. It's pretty clear, yeah. But we're definitely not going to see them introduce any legislation to bust up trust because they don't actually want to bust up trust. They want to keep taking money from corporations and just pass some kind of flagship legislation in the meantime and say things like, you know, we really care about the baby formula shortage, but we're probably not even going to see them introduce a bill that does something different in the meantime. Because it's not about addressing the problem. It's just about staying in office and protecting corporations for them.
Exactly. And they'll forget about this as soon as they're back in power. Like it's the same exact thing as the gasoline. They were freaking out about the rising cost of gasoline. And then every single thing that was proposed to actually fix it, they were against. They're against this. Are they in favor of the Defense Production Act being invoked? Are they making big public statements about finally Biden is doing the right thing? No, they've completely ignored it. About shipping in the formula? No, they're ignoring it. Trying to do the funding, a second bill to send money to the FDA to deal with supply chain issues having to do with formula. Do they support that? Are they excited about that? No, they don't care about literally any of this. And as soon as some other issue is dominating the news, they will move on to it. A year or two from now, if there are tons of kids like in low income families that desperately need access to formula and the money isn't there, are they gonna be like answering your phone calls about that? No, they'll have moved on. They literally don't care. This is about stopping things. And you cannot come up with something so reasonable that at least one of them won't turn against that. As an example of that, they had this bill that was meant to condemn the rise of anti-Semitism. One Republican lawmaker opposed it. Everyone else was agreed on it. 420-1, Representative Thomas Massie, who opposed the formula thing, he represented the only no vote. Eight other Republicans didn't vote. It's not that they are against condemning anti-Semitism. They just don't really have a position on it, I suppose. I'm sure they will be ready to launch accusations of anti-Semitism against Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib or whatever the next chance they get. But when they had a chance to have their name down on condemning it, I abstain, I suppose. And I'll just throw out, we don't have time to dive into the substance of it, but Mitt Romney and a few other Republicans also introduced a bill that would preemptively bar the Biden administration from canceling student loan debt. Because again, all of this is about stopping the government from functioning in even its most basic ways. Any final thoughts, Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the baby formula shortage, when I look at this issue, I think, you know, food's a basic human right. It's always something that's difficult for families to buy. It costs $428 per month on average. And this is always a problem. And Republicans don't care about it until it's in the news and they can make it about white babies dying and immigrants having a formula and the Biden administration's failing. But it's always a problem. And if there's someone who's positioned to do something about it, it's our elected officials. But they don't and they won't.
Exactly. 100%. Okay, well, with that said, we do have to take our second break. When we come back, we've got some weird news. Sarah Palin is trying to re-enter Congress. Apparently, she's been doing quite well for herself even before that, though. We'll give you the update after this. Okay, this is gonna be a wacky one. Everyone, hold on to your butts. Jump to this video.
Hey, all of Alaska, this is Sarah Palin, your former governor here in Wasilla. Hey, I just want to take a second to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. My most favorite people in the entire world. Alaska, I love you.
She loves them. That's why she's working so hard to move back to DC when she becomes a representative. She's running for Congress right now. Now, that video is freely available, that one. I think that's on YouTube. If you would like something more personalized, Sarah Palin has for a while been on Cameo. A Cameo is, of course, the site where you can get celebrities or something approaching celebrities to make custom videos for you for pay. And we previously on this show have made fun of Sarah Palin specifically for doing those cameos. It turns out the joke is very much on us because she has been doing very well for herself over on Cameo. Let's talk about the money she's been making recently. So she had to do a financial disclosure form. We expect that for people running for House. Presidents don't have to do it anymore. But anyway, she earned over $211,000 on Cameo just last year. That is nearly 40K more than she would make as a member of the House. Just pumping out those personalized videos, she made over 200 grand in a year. And if you look at this next graphic, you'll see a breakdown of some of the other things she's made money off of. So let's see, a little bit of it's from TV. I don't know what Young Conservative is. I imagine it's a way that billionaires have a front company that pretends that they're young people who are super conservative and they use that as a way to funnel money to right wingers they like. Also, there's Pie Spy, which sounds like a company I would actually make. But anyway, she made 70 grand there and it has something to do with services for the elderly. I don't know anything, but I'm gonna say if you looked into that, I bet it's corrupt. But anyway, let's focus now on the Cameo. You can see here a shot of her actual Cameo. She has 465 reviews and apparently people quite like her services. 5 stars, that's how you make over 200 grand. She sells the videos, by the way, for $199 each and promises delivery within 24 hours. Is that a bargain, Jessica? I don't know. She certainly is doing well for herself.
Man, I really blame SNL for this. It's their fault. They,
yeah.
When Sarah Palin was saying stuff like immigrants need to speak American and we need to make laws based on what the Bible says, that would have been a really great time to have some really good satire on the descent into white Christian nationalism. And SNL was like, best we can do is make fun of her voice. Sorry, we're gonna make her a meme. And now her voice is so profitable and she's making so much money off of Cameo. I blame SNL, although I would really like to like submit to her, hey, can you say this quote? And it'll be like a Eugene Debs quote or like a Che Guevara quote. We'll be like, it's a Ronald Reagan quote. My friend really likes it. Can you just say it and be like, this is so true?
And well, I like that, but you would be paying her $200 for the pleasure of that joke. So maybe think twice. Yeah, I blame SNL too. I blame Tina Fey specifically. And I think she can actually help though, if she were to make a Cameo where she makes videos as Sarah Palin. I think given the choice between the two, I think even right wingers would rather have the Tina Fey version. So maybe that could fight back against this financially. I just wanna mention one other thing here. So she has 465 reviews as of when we took that screenshot. We were looking into the people who've done the best on Cameo and I don't know for sure who it is, but Brian Baumgartner from The Office, he has 4,100 reviews, almost 10 times what Sarah Palin got, and she made 200 grand. He is pulling in money. He apparently made more than $1 million in a single year. And honestly, I like it. He was funny on The Office. He's giving people what they want. He's not trying to turn America into a Christian fascist state. I think. I haven't actually listened to his podcast, so maybe he is. I doubt it. And so that's what Cameo should be for. Not financially propping up people who are gonna try to actively take part in the overthrow of democracy, but doing like Brian Cox or apparently people like Mick Foley on there, something like that. And apparently you can make big money, Jessica. Maybe I should have gotten on there a few years ago. Oh well. Any other thoughts?
Nope, that's showbiz, baby. Sarah Palin on Cameo.
Exactly. Yeah, okay, I'll read the Rudy reviews. Sophie, don't worry. Rudy Giuliani apparently not doing as well. He apparently made $11,000 last year. That is not as good. He got a review from Spaghetti, who gave him 1 star and said, "I'm really not sure what Rudy was thinking with this useless, bizarre Cameo recording. He didn't personalize it in any way. He didn't mention me or the intended recipients, any of the items I asked him to. He just rambled in a diatribe for 8 minutes off topic. There was no value. I would leave 0 stars if it were an option. I wasn't a fan of his before. I really just ordered this as a prank, but honestly, now I kind of just hope the guy's okay." I've never seen anyone owned by a review on Cameo like that. Anyway, really fast, let's close out the hour jumping to a different topic. Let's jump into this.
In contrast, Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway.
The laughter, whether it's from him or from the crowd, that's like the darkest humor I think I've heard in my life. To stumble into that, you know, one thing coming out of this Freudian slip, he doesn't stay up at night thinking about what he has wrought on the world. It doesn't haunt him to this day, decades later, Jessica. What do you think?
Yeah, it's Throwback Thursday on the Damage Report. We're talking about Palin and we're talking about George W. And he's after this, he was like, "Sorry, I'm just really old." And it's like, "Sorry, I'm old. I forget to filter the truth out when I speak." Okay, George Bush. Rest in peace, Sigmund Freud. You would have loved George Bush, but I mean, he's right. George Bush is accidentally telling the truth because 200 civilians died in Iraq. He's absolutely right. I mean, it reminds me of just people saying we need to prosecute war crimes in Ukraine. And that's such a hard thing to do because the Bush administration, for all intents and purposes, committed hella war crimes. It's really hard to have any sense of justice in the international arena when we're violating the laws we expect other countries to abide by.
Exactly. Yeah, we should be prosecuting these war crimes. I mean, he seems to be unable, as he used to be, to filter out acknowledging that he's one of the worst mass murderers in the history of our species. And there were no consequences whatsoever. He got to just go off and, you know, do his little paintings or whatever. If Cameo had been around, he would have been on it at that point. So again, the joke, I guess, is on sanity or reason or respect for human rights. That's who the joke is on at the end of the day. But I will remind some of you who maybe you weren't like following politics. I know some of you were younger back then. A study was completed back in June 2006. It found that 650,000 people, civilians and fighters, had died as a result of the war in Iraq. That is from June 2006. The war went on for years and years. The instability and corruption and all that, the terrorist groups spring about in that chaos, that has continues to this very day. But that was just from relatively early on in the conflict. That's what he was just joking about in that clip. Anyway, if you're on the podcast or anything else like that, thank you for watching. We do have more on Twitch and YouTube, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Pitchfork's Dragon says, "A full week with the doc will be great, but we need a TYT primetime show." Well, I think that Brett is actually in the chat right now. So Brett, they're continuing to put pressure on you to stretch yourself even more thin, like a butter scraped over too much toast, to do a, yeah, he says, Brett says, "Stop making me work." I don't think they're gonna want that. I mean, there had been some pressure for a while to get Francesca a full late night show. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.